بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. مركز التوحيد بسيدني أستراليا بالاشتراك مع المحاضرات السلفية بأستراليا يسعدهم تقديم الشيخ العزيز خالد بن ضحوي الضفيري حفظه الله ورعاه في الدرس الرابع من الأصول الستة، وهذا في يوم السبت 28 من ذو الحجة 1439 هجري الموافق 8 سبتمبر 2018 ميلادي. بسم الله والحمد لله. مركز التوحيد in Sydney in conjunction with Salafi Lectures Australia and Muhaddin Publications in the Caribbean are pleased to announce the fourth class with our Sheikh Khalid bin Dahwi al-Dhafiri حفظه الله on the book of the six fundamental principles. And that will be our fourth class بإذن الله تعالى on the day of Saturday, the 28th of Dhul Hijjah, 1439 Hijri, corresponding to the 8th of September 2018 ميلادي. فليتفضل مشكورا مأجورا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله على آله وصحبه ومن اتبع هداه، أما بعد، أحياكم الله إخوتي مجددا، وأسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجمعنا وإياكم على الخير، وتقبل الله منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال بما مضى من مواسم الخير والطاعة. إخواني الكرام، كنا شرحنا فيما سبق جملة من هذه الرسالة وهي الأصول الستة، شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. وكنا تكلمنا في الدرس الأول عن مقدمة الشيخ وبيان أهمية هذه الأصول الستة، وأن الله وضحها توضيحا وبيانا كاملا شاملا حتى فهمه العوام من الناس، ومع هذا ظل فيه من ظل وانحرف من انحرف ممن أوتي ذكاء لكنه لم يؤت ذكاء ولا طهارة ولا منهجا ولا عقيدة. وبين الأصل الأول هو في بيان أهمية إخلاص الدين لله بالأمر بالتوحيد والنهي عن الشرك، وأن القرآن أكثره في توحيد الله سبحانه وتعالى، ومع هذا صار ما صار على أكثر الأمة، أظهر الشيطان التوحيد بصورة تنقص الصالحين، أظهر الشرك بصورة احترام الصالحين ومحبتهم، وهذا من التلبيس من إبليس. شرحنا الأصل الثاني هو في الأمر بالاجتماع والنهي عن التفرق، بيان النصوص الشرعية في ذلك الكثيرة من كتاب الله ومن سنة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، ومع هذا صار الناس أو أهل الانحراف والضلال يسمون الافتراق في أصول الدين وفروعه هو الفقه، وصار الاجتماع عندهم لا يقول به إلا مجنون أو زنديق. وضحنا ذلك وشرحناه وبيناه فيما مضى، وهذا أوان الشروع بالأصل الجديد الثالث.
Sheikh Hawda Allah started by saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, all praises due to Allah and peace and blessings upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and whoever follows him till the day of judgment. My dear brothers, hayyakum Allah all over again. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us anew upon the good. And I say, taqabbal Allah minna minkum, may Allah accept from us anew our good deeds regarding previous seasons of obedience. And we have explained previously some of the message that we are going over today, Al-Usul al-Sitta. And we have talked previously in the first class about the introduction to that message of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab and showed us the importance of these fundamentals. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made it as clear as the sun, as we may say in the West, in a comprehensive manner. So much so that even the layman from the people understood it. Along with this, you still see those who have chosen to be misguided, or those who have deviated, wal-iyadu billah, and left this understanding, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with some intellect, and yet they haven't used their intellect in the correct way. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, have showed us in the first fundamental, which starts with the importance of being sincere in religion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and forbiddance of falling into shirk till the end of that fundamental. Along with that, you see what happened amongst the people, and you see how the shaitan showed people or made people understand tawheed in a way or in a form of looking down at the righteous people and fooled the people into believing that shirk is loving, is through or in the form of loving the righteous people. And the second fundamental, where it is that the Muslim is commanded to gather, to be upon ijtima' or to stick to the jama'ah, and forbid us from division. And also gave us the proofs that are many and plenty from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Along with this, you see the people, or specifically the people of deviation, calling division in the fundamentals of religion of Allah as having fiqh or understanding in religion. And gathering or sticking to the jama'ah became by them a matter that only a crazy person or a heretic may say, wal-iyadu billah. And today, inshallah, the time have come to go into the third fundamental from these beautiful fundamentals. Naam, Sheikh.
قال رحمه الله تعالى الفصل الثالث تمام الاستماع السمع والطاعة لمن تأمر علينا ولو كان عبدا بيّن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا بيانا شائعا ذائعا بكل وجه من أنواع البيان شرعا وقدرا وصار هذا الأصل لا يعرف عند أكثر من يدعي العلم فكيف العمل به؟ بين رحمه الله تعالى بعد ذكره للأصل الثاني وهو الأمر بالاجتماع والنهي عن التفرق أن من أعظم أسباب الاجتماع وأعظم أسباب البعد عن التفرق في الأمة الإسلامية وهذا الأصل العظيم ألا وهو السمع والطاعة لولاة الأمر بالمعروف وهذا من بيان من ذكر الخاص بعد العام وخصص السمع والطاعة لولاة الأمر بأنه من أعظم أسباب الاجتماع لكونه من أهم الأمور وأعظمها التي يحصل بها الاجتماع ومخالفة النصوص الشرعية في هذا الباب هي من أعظم أسباب التفرق الذي يحصل في الأمة وهذا الأمر يدل عليه الشرع والقدر بيان ذلك الله عز وجل أمر في كتابه بطاعة أولي الأمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في سنته بطاعة أولي الأمر المعروف جاء إجماع على ذلك من أقوال سلف الأمة، ونص عليه الصحابة والتابعون جميع أغلب المؤلف في باب قد نص على أن هذه المسألة من المسائل التي يدين بها أهل السنة والجماعة. سأوضح الآن بعض الأدلة على ذلك من الكتاب ومن السنة.
So Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah have mentioned in the third fundamental that it is a must to have perfect obedience and hearing to those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made in charge of our affairs, even if they were an Abyssinian slave, as the hadith stated. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have showed us and clarified this beyond any doubt from any form or fashion in status as well as in value. And this asl, this fundamental, unfortunately is not known to the majority of those who are calling knowledge, but rather let alone those who are acting upon it. Sheikh Rahimahullah have told us, after he mentioned the second asl or the second fundamental that we mentioned earlier, which is stated commanding to be or stick to the jama'ah or gather upon the religion of Allah and forbiddance from division, he told us about the reasons for ijtima' to be gathered upon the religion, and he told us also about the reasons for division or how to stay away from division. Then he delved into that third fundamental, that is to hear and obey to those who are in charge of our affairs in a way that agrees with the sunnah or the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with ma'roof. And this, as the Sheikh said, Hafidhahullah, Sheikh Khalid Hafidhahullah mentioned, this is from showing us the specific after the general. Or this is from the way of specifying the details after giving us the general principle. That is to hear and obey to those who are in charge, to the leaders of this ummah. And it is from the greatest reasons to gather upon religion of Allah or to stick with the jama'ah. It is from the most important and the greatest of which. And going against these fundamentals leads to the greatest reasons for division, wal-iyadu billah. And this affair is indicated rather in the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to clarify this matter even further, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have commanded us in his book to obey the leaders or those who are in charge of our affairs. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his sunnah have commanded us to be upon obedience of those who are in charge of our affairs in ma'ruf, in a way that agrees with the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to gather upon that, as well as you see that from the consensus of the statements of the pious predecessors, including the companions and the generation of the Tabi'in after them altogether. But rather, so many of the scholars of the Sunnah have put together books regarding this principle and told us how important this matter is. That is a religion in itself or is a belief of the people of Sunnah and Jama'ah. And after this, the Sheikh Hafidhahullah said, and I will tell you some of the proofs from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now.
أما من كتاب الله أي الأدلة على السمع والطاعة ولاة الأمر بالمعروف، قول الله سبحانه وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم إن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا. وذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى الأمر بطاعة الله وطاعة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، ثم أردف ذلك طاعة أولي الأمر وأنها تابعة لطاعة الله وطاعة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا دليل على أن طاعة أولي الأمر بالمعروف هي من طاعة الله وطاعة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأن الله أمر بها وأمر بها الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقوله هنا سبحانه وتعالى أولي الأمر فسرها العلماء بأكثر من تفسير، جمهور العلماء على أن أولي الأمر هنا معناه الأمراء والحكام من المسلمين، وبعض أهل العلم وهو رواية عن ابن عباس وقول جابر وأبي العالية ومجاهد قالوا أنهم العلماء، للأمر أنهم العلماء. واختار عدد من المحققين من أهل العلم أن الآية شاملة للأمراء والعلماء، فيطاع الأمراء فيما يأمرون به ويطاع العلماء فيما يفتون به، وكل ذلك تابع لأمر الله وأمر رسوله. إن حصل من الأمراء أو العلماء أمرا بغير ما أمر الله به أو أمرا بما فيه معصية لله أو معصية لرسوله، إنه لا يطاع أحد في ذلك، لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. وممن اختار أن هذه الآية عامة في الأمراء والعلماء الإمام أحمد رحمه الله والطبري، شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية وابن القيم وابن كثير وابن رجب وغيرهم من العلماء. ومن فوائد هذه الآية أنه لما ذكر طاعة الله قال أطيعوا الله، ولما ذكر طاعة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال وأطيعوا الرسول، ولما جاء إلى أولي الأمر لم يقل وأطيعوا أولي الأمر، وإنما قال وأولي الأمر منكم، فلم يجعل طاعة أولي الأمر طاعة مستقلة كما هو الحال في طاعة الله وطاعة رسوله، وإنما جعل طاعة أولي الأمر تابعة لطاعة الله وطاعة الرسول، أي أنها طاعة مستثنات فيما ليس فيه معصية، وأما الطاعة المطلقة هي التي تكون لله وللرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. يدل على ذلك أيضا تتمة الآية حين قال فإن تنازعتم في شيء، أي بينكم وبين غيركم، الرد يكون إلى الله والرسول.
اللهم بارك. As for the proof from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the proofs for obedience, hearing and obeying to those who are in affairs or in charge of the affairs of the Muslims upon ma'roof, is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the messenger and those who are in charge of your affairs. So if you ever disagree with one another in any affair, take it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you are believing in Allah and the hereafter. That is khair, that is good for you and the best of methodology or the best of understanding. So he mentioned the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the obedience of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then those who are in charge of your affairs, and showed us that it follows the obedience of Allah and the obedience of the messenger. Showed us that obeying the rulers or obeying those who are in charge of our affairs follows the obedience of Allah and the obedience of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This indicates that obeying those who are in charge of our affairs in commanding good is from the obedience of Allah and the obedience of the messenger. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have commanded us to do so, and the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have commanded us to do so. And his statement here, meaning in the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ulil amr, those who are in charge of our affairs, have been interpreted and explained by the scholars of the sunnah in more than one way. But the majority or the consensus of the scholars, ulil amr, or those who are in charge of our affairs, refers to the rulers of the lands, the presidents, the princes, the kings, and so on, that are Muslim. Some of the people of knowledge, and this is a narration from the way of Ibn Abbas, as well as Jabir and Abu al-Aliya, as well as Mujahid, they said that the scholars have said, rather, ulil amr, or those who are in charge of their affairs, includes the scholars. And some of the scholars of the Sunnah have it chosen from the people of authentication, have said that this ayah also includes the leaders as well as the scholars. So when it comes to obedience, it refers to the leaders in what they command and includes the scholars in their verdicts. But yet all of this follows the commands of Allah and the commands of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So if it happens that the leaders and the scholars have commanded by other than what have come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or may have sinned or disobedience to Allah or disobedience to His Messenger, then they're not obeyed in any of that. They're not obeyed in that disobedience. As for the obedience, as for the proof for that, as our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith, there's no obedience for a creature in disobeying the Creator. There's no obedience for a creature in disobeying the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But also from the scholars, those who have chosen and said this command is general, as Imam Ahmad and Imam al-Tabari and Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Kathir and Ibn Rajab and other than them. From the benefits of this ayah, that when he mentioned the obedience of Allah, he said obey Allah. And when he mentioned the obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said obey the messenger. But when it came in the ayah to mention the obedience of those who are the leaders, he said, and the leaders. And he did not say, and obey the leaders, but rather he said, just the leaders. So he did not make obedience to the leaders as something independent, as is the case of obeying Allah and obeying the Messenger, but rather made it as a following to obeying Allah and obeying the Messenger. Made the leaders or obeying the leaders as a following to obeying Allah and obeying the Messenger. Meaning that it is the kind of obedience that are secondary in obeying Allah and obeying the Messenger, or rather obeying the leaders only to what is has no sin in it, but the abstract or the absolute obedience is only for Allah and only to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, obeying the leaders is secondary to only what has no sin whatsoever of disobedience to Allah and His Messenger. But the abstract or the absolute obedience is only to Allah and to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he indicated that in the ayah by continuing to the end of the ayah where he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, so if you ever disagree in any affair, take it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take it back to the Messenger. Any affair that's between you and other than you, take it back to Allah and to the Messenger. Naam.
وَأَمَّا مِنْ سُنَّةِ النَّبِيِّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ فَقَدْ كَثُرَتُ الْأَحَادِيثُ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ بَلْ قَدْ نَصَّ عَدَدٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ عَلَى بُلُوغِ هَذِهِ الْأَحَادِيثِ مَبْلَغَ التَّوَاتُرِ مَخَارِجُهَا كَثِيرَةٌ الصَّحَابَةُ الَّذِينَ رَوَوْا ذَلِكَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَدَدٌ كَبِيرٌ ولا يشك في تواتر هذه الأحاديث إلا من لا يعرف السنة المطهرة ما قاله الشوكاني رحمه الله من هذه الأحاديث ما جاء في حديث أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه الذي رواه البخاري قال اسمعوا وأطيعوا وإن استعمل عليكم عبد حبشي كأن رأسه زبيبة وجاء في حديث ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال السمع والطاعة على المرء المسلم فيما أحب وكره ما لم يؤمر بمعصية فإذا أمر بمعصية فلا سمع ولا طاعة أي لا سمع ولا طاعة له في هذه المعصية لكن السمع والطاعة باقية في الأمور الأخرى وفي حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أطاعني فقد أطاع الله ومن أطاع أميري أو الأميرة فقد أطاعني وهذا فيه بيان أن طاعة ولاة الأمر من طاعة الرسول ومن طاعة الله تعالى المسألة إذن مسألة تعبدية وليست خنوعا ولا خضوعا ولا ذلة كما يدعي ذلك خوارج العصر وجاء في وصية النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لأبي ذر رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال إن خليلي أوصاني أن أسمع وأطيع وإن عبدا مجدعا وإن عبدا مجدع الأطراف أي مقطع الأطراف وهذا من تأكيد وجوب الأمر والأمر بالسمع والطاعة كلكم يعلم وصية النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام للصحابة في حديث أبي نجيح العرباض بن سارية رضي الله تعالى عنه قال وعظنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما بعد صلاة الغداة موعظة بليغة ذرفت منها العيون وأجلت منها القلوب وقلنا يا رسول الله أوصنا قال أوصيكم بتقوى الله السمع والطاعة وإن عبد حبشي فإنه من يعش منكم يرى اختلافا كثيرا وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فإنها ضلالة من أدرك ذلك منكم فعليه بسنتي سنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين، عضوا عليها بالنواجذ. مما ينبغي التنبيه عليه في طاعة ولاة الأمر، والكلام هنا عن طاعة ولاة الأمر للمسلمين، أنه ينبغي على العبد أن يحتسب الأجر في طاعة الإمام، لأن طاعة الإمام من القربات التي أمر الله بها. أما من كان لا يطيعهم إلا لأخذ الدنيا من المال والولاية، فإن أعطوه أعطاهم فإن منعوه عصاهم، هذا ما له في الآخرة من خلاق. كما جاء في حديث النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام الثلاثة الذين لا يكلمهم الله يوم القيامة ولا ينظر إليهم ولا يزكيهم ولهم عذاب أليم. قال: ورجل بايع إماما لا يبايعه إلا لدنيا، فإن أعطاه منها وفى، وإن لم يعطه منها لم يفي. هكذا ينبغي أن يكون أهل السنة والجماعة سائرون على أمر الله وأمر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، يطيعون لولاة أمورهم بالمعروف، لأن عصيانهم من أعظم أسباب التفرق والخلاف والتنازع.
جزاكم الله خير. As the Sheikh Hawdallah continued by saying, as for the Sunnah or the proofs from the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so many ahadith have been mentioned regarding this, but rather so many of the people of ilm have told us that so many of those hadith have come from the way of tawatur, meaning have been narrated by so many of the companions, and its chain of narrations are many and plenty. The sahaba themselves have told us so from so many ways, and is no doubt regarding that these proofs have been mentioned by so many sahaba, and whoever have any doubt regarding that is only a person that does not know the sunnah, as Shawkani rahimahullah mentioned. In the hadith of Anas that have been narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, or Bukhari have narrated, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, listen and obey, even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put upon you an Abyssinian slave with a head like a raisin. And also in another hadith, the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu an, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hearing and obeying upon the Muslim man or the Muslim woman in every affair that he or she loves or hates, and as long as he's not been ordered of a sin. And once he's ordered with a sin, there's no hearing and no obeying in that sin alone. But hearing and obeying remains in all of the other affairs. Also, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever obeys me, meaning the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever obeys the leader, the Muslim leader, he has obeyed me. And this indicates that obeying the leaders is from obeying Allah and obeying the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the matter here is a matter of worship, and not just a matter, as the Khawarij of our present day and time claim, to be a matter of humiliation or a matter of lowliness, wal-iyadu billah. As came in the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu, that he told him, that Abi Dharr mentioned, my Khalil, meaning my close companion, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have commanded me to hear and obey, even if the leader was a slave with cut off limbs, with limbs that have been cut off. And this shows us the assurance that we must hear and obey. And all of you know, as the Sheikh Abdullah said, the advice of the Prophet ﷺ to the companions in the hadith of Abi Najih al-Irbad ibn Sariya, in which he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or rather in which he al-Irbad said, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on a day after Salat al-Ghadad have given us advice that the eyes filled up with tears from and the hearts became soft. So we said, O Prophet of Allah, give us advice. And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I advise you to have taqwa of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and to hear and obey even if your leader was an Abyssinian slave. Verily those who will live from amongst you after me, you will see great disagreement. And beware of the newly innovated matters because it is a misguidance. And whoever will catch up to this, upon you to hold on to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided rulers after me, bite onto it with your molar teeth. كتبت حاجة مش عارف أقراها. الله أكبر. فيه طاعة ولاية الأمر المسلمين. Oh, and this hadith rather shows us that it is a must to obey the leaders of the Muslims, or the leaders to the Muslims that are Muslim. And when you are doing so, it's a must upon you to expect the reward or to be upon ihtisab or in obeying the leaders to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is from the matters that bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You got to keep in mind when you're obeying the Muslim leader that it is from the commands or rather from the matters that bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you do not obey him from the way of gaining more of the worldly affairs. So you do not become from those that if the leader give you something, then you follow them. And if they prevented you from something, then you disobey him, wal'iyadu billah. As is known in the hadith of the three, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not talk to them on the day of judgment and will not, what are yuzakkihum? Shaykhna, al-hadith, fi al-thalatha ladhina la yukallimum wa la yuzakkihum.
ولا يكلمهم الله ولا يزكيهم ولا ينظر إليهم ولهم عذاب أليم.
ولا يزكيهم هنا بمعنى إيه؟
أن لا يطهرهم.
طيب نفس المعنى يعني سبحان الله. So in the hadith of the three, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned the hadith of the three that Allah سبحانه وتعالى will not talk to them on the day of judgment, will not purify them and will not look at them, and they will be facing a great torment. One of those three will be a man that have pledged allegiance to a leader only for the matters of the dunya, meaning that his allegiance is only based on worldly affairs. So if the leader give him, then he is loyal to the leader. And if the leader prevented him from anything that he wants in this dunya, then he is not loyal to the leader, wal'iyadu billah. So this is a must upon the people of sunnah and jama'ah, those who are walking upon the commands of Allah and the command of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that they have to have obedience to the Muslim leaders in ma'ruf, in only what is permissible. Because disobeying the leaders is from the greatest reasons for division, disagreement, and breakup amongst the Muslims, wal'iyadu billah, amongst other things. Now,
وجوب السمع والطاعة في ولاة الأمر هي مسألة متقررة عند أهل السنة قاطبة لا يخالف في ذلك أحد منهم، وهذا ظاهر في أقوالهم وأفعالهم من الصحابة والتابعين ومن بعدهم، عملوا بهذا الأصل وقرروه، وهو محل إجماع السلف، ونقل الإجماع على ذلك عدد من العلماء كالبخاري رحمه الله بن أبي حاتم وحرب الكرماني وابن أبي زيد القيرواني وأبو الفتح المقدسي وغيرهم من العلماء. يقول الإمام البخاري رحمه الله باعتقاده الذي ذكره اللالكائي، لقيت أكثر من 1000 رجل من أهل العلم، أهل الحجاز ومكة والمدينة والكوفة والبصرة وواسط وبغداد والشام ومصر، لقيتهم كرات، أي مرات عديدة، قرنا بعد قرن ثم قرنا بعد قرن، أي عبر عدد من الزمان في أزمنة متفاوتة، أدركتهم وهم متوافرون منذ أكثر من 46 سنة، أهل الشام ومصر والجزيرة مرتين، والبصرة 4 مرات في سنين ذوي عدد، في الحجاز 6 أعوام، ولا أحصي كم دخلت الكوفة وبغداد مع محدثي أهل خراسان. ثم ذكر عددا ممن لقيهم ثم قال: واكتفينا بتسمية هؤلاء كي يكون مختصرا وألا يطول ذلك، فما رأيت واحدا منهم يختلف في هذه الأشياء. ثم قال: وألا ننازع الأمر أهله، لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: 3 لا يغل عليهن قلب امرئ مسلم، أي لا يكون القلب غليلا وحقودا وحسودا إذا توفرت فيه هذه الأمور، 3 لا يغل عليهن قلب امرئ مسلم: إخلاص العمل لله، وطاعة ولاة الأمر ولزوم جماعتهم، فإن دعوتهم تحيط من ورائهم. ثم أكد في قوله: أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. وأقوال أهل العلم في نقل الإجماع على هذه المسألة كثيرة جدا، وقد ذكرت جملة ممن نقل الإجماع على ذلك، وهذا كله في بيان وشرح معنى كلام شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب هنا. فبين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا بيانا شائعا ذائعا، شائعا ذائعا أي منتشرا مسموعا عند الناس بكل وجه من أنواع البيان شرعا وقدرا. أما شرعا هو الذي ذكرناه هنا من أقوال الكتاب والسنة ونصوص الأئمة، وأما قدرا فهو ما سيأتي بيانه.
شيخنا نفت مني الكلام، لا يعني ما فين لما ذكر السفريات كلها مرات عديدة قرن بعد قرن في أزمنة متفاوتة، أدركتهم توافرون من 46 سنة، فقال أهل الشام ومصر مرتين، صحيح؟
لا.
ثم ذكر بعدها من؟ قبل ما أقول في الحجاز 6 أعوام،
البصرة 4 مرات،
البصرة 4 مرات،
أقول اختصر يعني، ذكرت جملة من الدول الزارة.
خير إن شاء الله. And from the proofs that it's a must to hear and obey for the leaders of the Muslims is a matter that have been repeated by the people of Sunnah beyond any doubt. Nobody can disagree with that. And that is obvious and apparent in their statements and their actions, including starting with the Sahaba, then the generation of Tabi'een and those who came after that. And from the consensus also of the pious predecessors. those including Al-Bukhari, Abi Hatim, and Harb al-Karmani, and Abi Zayd al-Qarawani, and Abi Fath al-Maqdisi, and other than them from the scholars. As Imam Bukhari said in his belief that Al-Lalika'i have mentioned, I met more than 1,000 men from the people of Hijaz, Mecca, Al-Madina, Al-Kufa, Al-Basra, Wawasit, Baghdad, and Al-Sham, and Egypt, amongst other countries. And all of them, I found him so many times seeing the same thing, century after century, time after time. I found him to all agree on one thing, as the Sheikh said, Hafidhahullah, from so many different countries. He said, over the period of 46 years, including the people of Sham and Egypt that I visited twice, and the people of Basra that I went and visited four times, and people of Hijaz that I stayed with for 6 years. And I cannot remember how many times I went to Kufa and Baghdad, and I stayed with, or Kufa and Baghdad, and I stayed with the scholars of Hadith from the people of Khorasan. And he mentioned so many other countries and so many other scholars and places. Then he said, and from the way of summarizing, I would not mention so many other places and so many other scholars of Sunnah that I met, but all of them did not disagree regarding this matter, and that we are not to disagree with the leaders, as our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the Hadith 3, that their hearts would never have any enmity or envy. 3, that the hearts of the Muslim would never have any enmity or any envy if they have these affairs, or if they are upon these affairs. First of which, to be sincerely in their action to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And second of which, to obey the leaders and stick to their jama'ah. Because their call is surrounding them. Because their call is surrounding them. In accordance to the ayah that we mentioned earlier, and obey Allah and obey the messenger and those who are in charge of your affairs. And the statements of people of knowledge are many and plenty regarding that. And I have mentioned some of those who have brought to us the consensus of the scholars upon this affair in clarification and explaining the speech of Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, in which he told us that the bayan of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the kind of bayan that is widespread, that is known to everybody, meaning known to all of the people from every fashion and every form, from any way you can look at it, in accordance to the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in accordance to the pre-decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have mentioned, as the Shaykh Hafidhahullah, some of those proofs from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that agrees that this bayan had been mentioned from the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as the statements of the scholars of the Sunnah. As for the Qadaran, or the pre-decree of Allah, and that is what we're going to go about to explain further, inshallah. Now.
أما البيان القدري فالشيخ يشير رحمه الله تعالى إلى الدليل من الواقع، فإن حال الأمة عند الاجتماع أعظم من حالها عند التفرق، هذا من أعظم الأدلة على وجوب الإمامة، وجوب السمع والطاعة، وتحريم الخروج على ولاة الأمر. لا يصلح الناس فوضى لا سرات لهم، أي لا قادة لهم، ولا سرات إذا جهالهم سادوا. الناس لا يصلحون بدون إمام. ولا يصلح الإمام بدون سمع وطاعة، ولا يصلح الاجتماع إلا بالسمع والطاعة لولاة الأمر. ما قال ابن مسعود رحمه الله في خطبة له، أيها الناس عليكم بالطاعة والجماعة، إنها حبل الله الذي أمر به، وما تكرهون في الجماعة خير مما تحبون في الفرقة، ما تكرهون في الجماعة خير مما تحبون في الفرقة. ويقول شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله وله ولابن القيم نحو من كلامه، أنه عبر التاريخ ما حصل خروج على ولاة الأمر إلا وكانت المفاسد التي جرت على الأمة أكثر بكثير من المصالح التي كانوا يرجونها، وهذا واقع ومشاهد الفتن التي حصلت على الأمة كفتنة ابن الأشعث حين خرج الناس على الحجاج ومات من مات وقتل من قتل ومن دخل ندم وعرف المفاسد، ما قال أيوب رحمه الله أنه ما بقي منهم من دخل في هذه الفتنة أحد إلا ندم على فعله برؤيته للمفاسد، وما مات أحد منهم إلا لم يحمد له موته، ما أثنى الناس عليه وعلى ميتته. الواقع من الأدلة الظاهرة البينة على تحريم الخروج على ولاة الأمر، وواقعنا يشهد ذلك. البلدان التي حصل فيها مظاهرات وما يسمونه بالربيع العربي وغير ذلك، والشرور التي حصلت للأمة هذه الأمور، سفك للدماء، قتل للأبرياء، وتهدم أو ذهاب للأمن والأمان والأوطان والبيوت والأعراض، وهذا من الأدلة على حرمة هذه الأفعال ما فيها من الفساد والمفاسد الكثيرة. والعجب كل العجب، والأمر الذي تعجب منه الشيخ رحمه الله، ما صار هذا الأصل لا يعرف عند أكثر من يدعي العلم فكيف العمل به؟ كثير ممن ينتسب إلى العلماء أو إلى العلم، ممن يسمون بالدعاة وغيرهم ينتسبون إلى العلم والعلماء زورا وبهتانا، وهم من الخوارج المارقة، لا يعرفون هذا الأصل وينكرونه بل يحاربونه، يذمون أهله، يلقبونهم بألقاب السوء. يقولون جماعة اسمع وأطع أو عبيد السلطان، ويصفونهم بالخنوع والذلة لأجل تمسكهم بهذا الأصل الشرعي. وهذا كما تعجب منه الشيخ في عصره، فهو أيضا عجب في عصرنا. هذا الأصل لا يعرف عند كثير ممن يدعي العلم، فكيف بالعوام وأهل الجهل؟ أصبحوا يسمون الذي يخرج على ولي الأمر الشجاع والذي لا يخاف الله لومة لائم، وأصبح الذي يذكر وصايا أو أوامر الله وصايا الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم هو عكس ذلك. وهؤلاء هم دعاة سفك الدماء وإزهاق أرواح الأبرياء، جعلوا الدين ستارا يتسترون به لأجل الوصول إلى مآربهم ومصالحهم السياسية ومصالح أحزابهم وأهوائهم. وهذا كله من الضلال والانحراف. يجب علينا إخوتي في الله أن ندين بهذا الأصل العظيم وأن نطيع ولاة أمورنا من المسلمين بالمعروف وأن نقرر هذا الأصل ونبينه للناس ما بينه السلف الصالح لمن بعدهم من الناس. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يثبتنا وإياكم على السنة أن يوفقنا وإياكم للعمل الصالح أن يميتنا على التوحيد. وهذا ختام الدرس. إلى الأسبوع القادم إن شاء الله. الله أعلم، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد، جزاكم الله خيرا
وإياكم جزاكم الله خير.
شيخنا عندكم مانع نبدأ إن شاء الله؟ يكون عندكم نص ساعة بعد الـ الـ يعني بدل ما كنا نبدأ. أنت عندكم يكون الساعة كام؟
كنا الساعة واحدة، نبدأ واحدة ونص يعني؟
نعم، عشان صلاة الفجر تأخرت عندنا عما نصلي الفجر. اليوم الحمد لله كان في مطر فصلينا في البيت، لكن إذا صلينا في المسجد ما نستطيع نبدأ قبل واحدة ونص، والله تعالى أعلم. بارك الله فيكم شيخ.
قبل الدرس تنبهوني على الوقت إن شاء الله قبل بيوم.
خلاص بإذن الله.
السلام عليكم.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته، جزاكم الله خير. هذا الشيخ حفظ الله continued by saying, as for the clarification in accordance to the pre-decree of Allah or from the history of mankind, Sheikh al-Islam hafidhahullah shows us that so many proofs from reality that's happening in the Ummah when they gathered around the leaders, and how great it is when their condition is so than division, and how it makes it a must to follow the leaders of the Muslims and to hear and obey, as well as to hate going against the leaders. And it's not permissible for the people to have no leaders, and there's no leadership without an imam. And the imam is not an imam without hearing and obeying. And ijtima' or jama'ah is not to be a jama'ah except by hearing and obeying to the imam or to the leaders. As Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentioned in a khutbah, in which he said, O people, upon you to obey and to stick to the jama'ah, because the robe of Allah, it is the robe of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us with. And whatever you hate from the jama'ah is better for you than what you love in times of division. And whatever you hate from the jama'ah is better for you than what you love in times of division. Sheikh al-Islam rahimahullah Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, and also Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned some of that in the history. You see in the history what happened from those who went against the leaders, and how much corruption and destruction happened, and so many ways that affected the benefits and the worldly affairs that they were hoping to gain by going against the leaders. This is a reality. This is something that is seen and known by all of mankind when the fitna happens amongst the people. As Ibn al-Ash'ath, like in the fitna of Ibn al-Ash'ath when he went against the Hajjaj, how many people were killed? How many people were led to the death, wal-iyadu billah, from amongst the Muslims? As Ayyub said, whoever got into this fitna, except that he regretted the fact that he got into his fitna because of what he's seen of the destruction as a result of that fitna. And whoever died as a consequence of this fitna, none of the people praised his death, wal-iyadu billah. And again, from the reality, from the clear proofs and obvious in going against the leaders, as you see in so many countries where demonstrations and protesting happened, and the so-called the Arabic Spring, and the evils that happen as a result of the so-called Arabic Spring, as well as protesting, of so much bloodshed, so much killing, so much dishonor, so much of safety and security being wasted and gone, so many lands being affected, so many homes being destroyed, and so many honors been corrupted. And these are from the proofs that is absolutely prohibited to go against the leaders because of so much corruption and destruction that is brought about as a consequence. And what's really amazing that our Sheikh, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, in his time was amazed himself by the so many of those who claim to be upon calling to the Sunnah, from the so-called callers and scholars that were fake, wal'iyadu billah, and lying upon Allah and His Messenger, because they were truly from the Khawarij, those who took themselves out of the fold of obedience, that they didn't even know these fundamentals, but rather they even negated the fundamentals and fought the people that were upon such a fundamental, and went as far as giving them bad names by calling them, for example, oh, they're the jama'ah of al-sam'a wa-ta'ah, the jama'ah of hearing and obeying, or they are the slaves or the servants of the sultan, or the slaves of the leader of the Muslims. And they were, wal'iyadu billah, described them of descriptions of humiliation and so on and so forth. So this is something that Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah was amazed with in his own time. So is the case in our time, our dear brothers and sisters. This is why this fundamental, you see it with so many of the who are calling the knowledge, not knowing or not going with this fundamental in the way they should be doing. And you see that they have become of what we call those who go against the leaders of the Muslims. And they call whoever goes against the leaders of the Muslims as a brave man, or other than that, mistakenly. And you see them calling whoever sticks to the fundamentals of the Sunnah in hearing and obeying, you see them calling him with opposite terms to that. And these leaders are only the leaders of bloodshed, or these callers are only calling to bloodshed. They call in to destroying the honor of the people. They have made the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a path to reach their desires and their whims and their objectives and their parties, amongst other things, of worldly affairs and nothing to do with the religion. This is all from the misguidance and deviation that is a must upon us, my dear brothers, as the Sheikh said, Hafidhahullah Khair ibn Nahw al-Dhafiri, that it's a must upon us to take this fundamental as part of our religion, that we obey the leaders of the Muslims in ma'ruf, in what is permissible in the religion of Allah, and clarify that to the people. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us and you upon the sunnah, and to give us and you the success to righteous deeds, and to make us and you die upon tawheed. And this is the conclusion of this class. Till next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And as I mentioned to the Sheikh before he left us for this translation, inshallah ta'ala, because Salat al-Fajr here in Columbus, Ohio, comes in a few minutes before 6 o'clock, and it's getting later and later in the morning. So inshallah ta'ala, we'll start at 1:30 Kuwait time, which I believe will be 6:30 Columbus, Ohio time, or East Coast time in United States, EST time. And in Australia, I think that will be 12 hours later, that's 6:30 in the evening, or 14 hours later in Sydney, I think. Yeah, it's 8:30, right, Abu Aisha? I think it's 8:30. Yeah. 8:30 in Sydney, and I think in your side of the continent will be 6:30 also, right, Abu Aisha? 6:30 p.m. بإذن الله تعالى. Anything that I've said as a translator that's correct is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt about it. And anything that I've said that is not correct is only from myself and or from the shaitan. Jazakum Allah khair for being patient. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.